We began to exhort ourselves last week on the subject of prayer. And we were asking the question, why do we ask and not receive? Why do we ask and not receive? We established seven things that it is God's desire, God's delight to answer prayers. And so, when we are not receiving answers for prayer, it is not to God that we look for the problem. The problem is not with God, it belongs with us. And I said last week that the Lord has given us 21 reasons why we are asking and not receiving. We have 9 things, and I'm just going to run through them, I'm not going to expand on them. That number one is that there is a set time for everything, and it is possible that it is not just yet the set time for what you are asking God, and so it is not manifesting. Secondly, we said that we are asking amiss. It's possible that we are asking amiss. The Lord Himself said, we ask and do not receive because we ask amiss. We do not ask as we ought to ask. We ask to consume it on our Lord. We don't ask according to His will. Because He Himself has said that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we know that we have the answer to the petition. We don't even need to be able to say, as God answered. Once we know that God has heard, then we know that we have the answer. And for God to hear, we must be asking according to His will. You cannot be asking something contrary to the will of God and expect to hear from our perspective to know that God has heard. When a lot of people say, oh, God is not speaking to me, I've been praying, but God is not speaking to me, I always ask them, are you sure you are asking according to His will? Ask according to His will, and let us say whether He's not hearing. The third thing we mentioned was that it is possible that we are not abiding in the true vine. Because He made it clear in John 15 verse 7 that if we abide in Him and His word abides in us, He says we will ask what we desire and it shall be done unto us. And we established that it is not possible for you to be abiding in the Lord and be asking amiss. When you are abiding in the true vine, it means that the light, the sap of the true mind is flowing through you. It means that the nature of Christ is actually flowing through you. And so you cannot act contrary to the nature of Christ. We mentioned that there are a lot of people who want divine visitation. But what God is interested in is divine habitation. God is not interested in visitors. He's not interested in dwellers. Visitors can come and receive something, but dwellers stay in that house. And dwellers will always get answers to their prayers. Visitors will always have maybe not, and so on and so forth. Now we go on to number 4, where we are going to begin today. In John chapter 15, verse 16, the Lord Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you or ordained you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. So we see another challenge there for us. It is that we are not bearing fruit. There are 2 levels of fruit that we are talking of here. Internal and external. Internal fruit is about bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That is, yielding your life and allow the Spirit of God to lead you, to direct you, to influence you. When that is happening in your life, there is no way the nature of Christ will not manifest, which is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. It is the same thing as what we said in number 3. You are not abiding. If you are abiding in the true vine, the life of the true vine will flow through you. The nature of the true vine will be your nature. And then you are guaranteed that if you ask, you will get that. That was what happened with the Lord Jesus. He was in the flow with the Father. Said, I am in the Father and the Father in me. That's why he would ask and it would be done. He knew what the Father wanted done. There is so much probability with us in Christendom today after not being served. Then there is the matter of external fruit, which is so meaningful.
Many people want to raise souls
without bearing eternal fruit.
And remember what he said, that your fruit might remain.
I think it's message also that says that your fruit will not spoil.
If you are not bearing eternal fruit, whatever eternal fruit you have brought in will go back. Because the day you begin to misbehave, that soul that you brought in will not return. Is this the Christianity we're talking about? And that's why there are so many rotten fruits in the church of God. Which is the reason why the church of God, we are not hearing and we are not getting answers to our prayers. We want night vigils, we want programs, we want all kinds of things, but we are not getting answers. Because the internal fruit is missing. Let us not see another part that God does not answer the prayers of sinners. When you are not bearing fruit, it means that you are the sinner. You are going along the same path. But if you were going with God in the same path, there is no way you will not bear fruit. I think I mentioned it last time. You know, when the parents look at the boy and look at the son and say, you will call him and say, come, who gave birth to this boy? Why? Because he's not seeing his nature. This crazy boy is living. He doesn't have a family. I've never seen any of my brothers or my sisters or my uncles behave this way. Where did this boy come from? In a similar way, God will look at the neighbor, who gave birth to this one? Where did they come from? What message did they hear? That they have every one, all their prayers, fall down and die, fall down and die. Why are you not interested in the things that I'm interested in?
Many of us are not abiding, we are not bearing fruit. We are not bearing the kind of fruit that pleases God. Remember that when God went into this, that vineyard that he planted, he asked the vine dresser. He said, he told the dresser, look at this tree. I have been waiting for this tree to give me fruit for 3 years. Please cut it down and supervise this. Vine dresser bear that said, no, no, no. I'll dump it, I'll do everything. If after that 1 year, it doesn't bear fruit, whatever you want to do with the government. I believe God is giving some of us opportunity. Because you see, if there's no thing that God does not want, number one, he doesn't want us to put for spectators and prayer and all that. Number two, he doesn't want anybody to have the feeling that God does not answer prayers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 to 36. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, after you received the word of God, after the word of God enlightened you, and your heart was open to God, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly when you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly when you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourself in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, of patience, of long suffering. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Brethren, God is saying to you and I that many of us are unable to endure the weight of God. So many people have turned to alternatives. Many people have turned to idolatry. Many of us, if we are sincere with ourselves, when we first gave our life to Christ, there was nothing we would not give up for the pursuit of the things of God. But today, it appears our hearts have been turned against God. Because we see the people of this world having all kinds of things, and our hearts are drawn to what they have. But what our Father wants to give us, we're not interested. And so for many of us, we are impatient. I've not made who out of impatience have come to marry women that have given them challenges in their lives. I know sisters who out of impatience, in fact, as a sister who married a man that has two wives already. What is the rush? Why would you suffer in the beginning and then throw all that away over there? Because there's no reward for you. The Bible says, as we wait on God, there is great reward. There is great reward in that, in the recompense that God says is going to give you. And I always tell people, you see, the mistake we always make is we want to compare God with the native doctors of this world. And God is not like that. God is not a magician. And he has never played magic. There's always a process
each time you want to give me something. I don't know of any father on earth that would give his 14-year-old a car to drive. That father must be responsible. There are some things that God wants to give you that is not. You have to mature. So something that you are asking for will require that you grow in the things of God before you can get it. So sisters don't know that the man that God has prepared for them, that man may not be ready, or they themselves may not be ready for it. And so they have to wait for God to prepare the man, for God to prepare them. Vice versa, there are some brothers who will want to get married there tomorrow, but they fail to realize that they are not ready. So people have quoted the scriptures saying that the Bible says that if you burn, it's better to marry than to burn. Let me tell you the truth. If you are still burning, after you are married, you will be burning. You must deal with that burning before you get married. It also matters your daughter with you. What happens the day you and your wife quarrel? What would you do? You will now use the excuse of my wife quarrel with me, so I went out. Is that going to be the excuse? You must deal with that thing in your life. Apply the cross to it. It is a sign that the flesh is still on the right. And it will be destroyed. So these are the things that God wants to do. He wants you to endure. He wants you to wait. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 28 to 31. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no mind, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Brethren, when we were growing up as believers, these were scriptures that they gave us. They said, wait, God will renew your strength. In the place of waiting, your strength is renewed. Your strength is renewed to wait longer. Your strength is renewed to endure. Your strength is renewed to go through whatever it is that God wants you to go through. We know the story of Abraham in Genesis 15. How God came and gave him the promise of Isaac and told him they're going to have a son. After about 13 years after that promise, Sarah came and said, look, I don't know what your God is doing, but I think you can go into this again. Who knows? We might be able to have a child by this day. And Abraham obeyed her. And then they had a child. If you read that story, you realize that not one day did Sarah enjoy that boy. Not one day. Abraham made sure that boy understood that she's the mother. Eventually, chapter 17, when God came to my son, Abraham said, walk before me and be that one. Your ways are not imperfect. Many of us need to begin to walk with God in perfect. We are not perfect. In our heart for things, we are turned to idolatrous things. We are not. I hear many Christians say, but this person, I say, okay, why don't you follow them? Go and see how they are making that money. I have never seen in the scriptures when the Bible says, if you make money, you will enter in heaven. Enter the city. You have seen the show. I don't even know where we come up with this message of you must have money, you must have money. I don't know where we see it. When if God were to give you money, it is for distribution, it's not for accumulation. And so there are those who have gone into this error of you must have money, accumulating, not distributing, and they are selling themselves short. When you get to one read 1 Timothy chapter 6, I think it's towards the end, verse 17 or so to 19, where he says, charge those who are rich in this world that they distribute, that they should use that wealth to gain for themselves an entrance into heaven. Because that wealth can stop them from entering into heaven. Men who become so selfish, so stingy, so greedy, oppressive, just because they have the money and they don't distribute. Let's go on to number 6, very quickly. Ezekiel chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11. I hope you are talking this thing though, because you need to repent. I have found out that a lot of people, they come to church, they sit and they hear the word of God. the degree they want to do, they will see you.
There is a word from God here to show you.
Ezekiel chapter 14,
from verse 1 to 11.
Now some of the elders of Israel came to me, that is to Ezekiel, and sat before me,
and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man,
these men have set up their idols in their hearts, and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak to them, and say to them, God says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel, who sets up his idols in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, and then comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him, who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by their hearts, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, God said to the Lord God, repent, turn away from your idols, and turn your faces away from all your abominations. For any one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger who dwells in Israel, who separates himself from me, and sets up his idol in his heart, and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then comes to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I the Lord will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man, and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I the Lord have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall hear their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired. That the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, says the Lord. What is God saying? Some people came to Ezekiel. They came to sit before him. And God said to them, God will say to Ezekiel, have you seen this? They have set up idols in their hands. Now they want to come and ask concerning the idols they set. Let me give you an illustration. A sister has decided the brother is not to marry. Is that brother who has the beard for you? Then she now comes to the pastor, man of God. How does God speak? Does she not know how God speaks? And now comes to her, how does God speak? Because I saw brother so and so in a dream. Seeing somebody in a dream doesn't mean anything. He said, and in that dream, I was very quiet, it was very issue, meaning of all those things that said, it is an idol inside your heart. And God said, I will answer that girl according to you. He said, go and marry quickly. If you will get the word, quick, marry him. And after they are married, and the whole question of no marriage matter stands out, they will start to see the things. Then she will run, man of God, I'm not sure I heard that. You heard very well. Very, very well. Praise the name of the Lord. That is what it is. You cannot decide that you want to pursue this contract. Then you come and say, I want to inquire from God. You have already decided what you want to do. Are you sure you can hear from God? That's why when you want to pray, you must pray with a good heart. You don't come with a decision in your heart to God.
God will say to you, thank you very much.
That is that decision what you quickly go and do.
The way you want it to talk, you have to come and say, I didn't know. Did you? Chapter 2, 12 to 17.
If young woman's son came to go in to King Ahasuerus after she had completed 12 months' preparation according to the regulations for the women, for those were the days of their preparation upon them. 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and preparation for beautiful divine women. God prepared each young woman, went to the king, and she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the women's quarters to the king's palace. In the evening she went, and in the morning she returned to the second house of the women, to the company of Sheshashias, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubine. She would not go into the king again unless the king delighted in her and called for her by name. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle
the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king,
she requested what? Nothing
but what the guy, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. So Esther was taken to the king, Ahasuerus, into his royal palace in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. What is the point of time, brother?
When the other girls were going to see the king, they had their own choices. When it was Esther's turn, what did Esther do? She left it in the hand of the eunuch that had done it. Let us start leaving things in the hand of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the mind of the Father. He knows what it is that delights the Father. When you go into the tunnel, praying as the Holy Spirit has given you utterance, you will see God answering you as you answer him. But many times, a lot of us, we don't like to pray in tongues. Because we say we don't know what we are praying. So we make up our mind, we decide on what we are going to ask. Lord, I want it like this. Lord, I want it so and so time. Lord, I want it this month. Then we say, let me pray this prayer for you. He say, no, I don't want to do it. And I've heard some pastors say, make up your mind what you want from God. I'm going to advise you, take Esther's counsel. Go and meet the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit ask on your behalf. The Bible says, let's read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know. Is that your Bible? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will. Commit your ways unto God. You will see him doing it. Look, it is time, if indeed he said God is our Father, we need to trust him. It's time for you to trust God with what God has in store for you. And I imagine Joseph prayed. I said, oh Lord, deliver me from these my brothers. They just hate me. In fact, Father, send down fire. Let them fall down and die. But they don't pronounce the useful to Joseph. Maybe not the way they said, better, very useful. They were the ones that were going to sell him to the people that would take him to him. I was telling my brother, I said, when people are doing things that is hurting us, we should stop crying. Stop complaining. Let's just leave it in the hands of God. Because whatever, if you are a child of God, whatever somebody is doing contrary to you, they are actually moving you closer and closer to the destination that God has for you. But do not do that. We already have in our own tiny puny mind the wrath that will take on the earth. Do you think Joseph, in all his dreams, would have imagined that Egypt was going to come to? And even if he would imagine it, do you think he would have thought that as he said he would be the one to get the peace out of him? Then the transformation, no, because look, in the plan of God, there was somebody that Joseph would come in contact with. That man was going to be in the peace. The only way Joseph can, that meeting can take place, the only was orchestrated, was that Joseph had to land up in the house of Potiphar, the man who held the prison. He has to land up there. And God knew that the Potiphar's wife couldn't keep a man's arm. So all those things must work out. The Bible says, if you continue in that Romans chapter 8, and you go to verse 28, you will see what it says. What does it say? Let's read it together. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. What do you go? How many things? The good, the bad, the ugly, they are all working together. And look at what he said. He didn't say, I will think. What did he say?
No.
When you hear and we know, what does it
coming to you.
And then the servant, this man was sure. Then we know. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I don't know where we got this notion that everything must be rosy, 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 rosy. The Christian life is a life of ups and downs. And yet, his nature is steady. His nature does not go up and down. But the things surrounding his life, they are up and down. But his nature is the same. In the house of Potiphar, he was the same Joseph that was in Potiphar's house. He was the same Joseph that was in prison. He was the same Joseph that went to Pharaoh. This nothing changed in Joseph. No bitterness, no envy, no annoyance, nothing. He was the same. But his, the situation of his life, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But this, you can't do anything about the environment. You can do something about your nature. It is just to come to God and allow God to change. Let me stop here. Next week we'll take more. This is, I want us to wonder on these three new ones that we have discussed and ask, am I bearing fruit? Am I bearing eternal fruit? Am I winning souls? Is it that I'm too impatient? There's a prayer to pray for people in those days. I'll say, may you not run faster than God. May your desire, not your desire for what God wants to do, not outweigh God's desire for you. Because many of us are so, we want something so badly that if it means jettisoning God, we will jettison it and go and get it any other way we want to get it. What is in your heart? What is in your heart? Before you go to God, what did you determine in your heart? I've heard some sisters who say, I've made up my mind this year, if God doesn't answer them, well, I'm going to use my own approach. I mean, it's not going to happen. I can't wait. And then when the thing that happens, you now see them turning around. Brother, let's pray. We need to go to God in prayer. Like I said last week, it's a prayer of repentance. As you see the areas where you have gone wrong, you should go and talk to God. I'm begging myself, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. That I've just taken prayer as though it is something to just talk anyhow, without your nature being in me. As if I should just do whatever I want, as I can just come and ask, and whereas I'm not bearing it. It is time for you to talk to God and say, Lord, whatever is going to take for me to be a fruit bearer, internal and external, help me. Help me, Lord. Maybe your own is that you just don't know how to endure. You don't know how to wait. Once you want something, your whole body shaking is vibrating. You begin to think of what you begin to think of how you are going to do it outside of God. You cannot wait for God. You begin to set up your own plan, setting up your own idols in your heart, and then you now come to God. I say, Lord, I have seen that business. In fact, I've seen the woman. In fact, I've seen the man. In fact, I've seen the house. In fact, I've seen the property. Oh, I've seen the church. I've seen the man of God. I've seen the pastor. I've seen this. I've seen that. So that by the time God is speaking, you cannot hear anymore. You have blocked your hearing by the idol that you put in your heart. It is time for us to make up our minds that we will talk to God in the spirit, not in the flesh. It's time for us to strip ourselves of every human desire, of every fleshly desire, of every worldly desire, and say, Lord, let your will be done. The Bible says this way for us as we read. It says, we know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, those who are being called according to his purpose. Many of us are experiencing frustrations in our prayer life. Because you are being called according to the purpose of God. But if you want to be praying according to the purpose of man, if you are being called according to the purpose of God, then you want to pray according to the purpose of God. The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it's verse 11, the Bible makes it clear that the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. He knows the things that God has freely given to us. The thing that God has prepared for us and is willing to be given to us. He says, for what man knows the things of a man
except the spirit of man, which is in him.
Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of man. Only the spirit of God knows God's plan for your life. Sometimes you are asking, Lord, show me your plan for my life. Let me tell you the truth. You cannot know all. Whatever you know of the plan of God for your life is but the tip of an iceberg. It's time to go to God. It's time to cry to God this evening, brother. Let's talk about the Lord. Oh, bring me into your purpose. Bring me into your purpose for my life. I have been going astray for so long. Lord, I want to discount all those things. Bring me into your purpose. Bring me into your plan. That plan, that good plan that you have for me. I may not understand it. I may not know how it's going to be accomplished. But Lord, I surrender all to you. I give all into your hands, Lord. Have your way in my life. Brethren, talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God this evening. Pray. This is the prayer we need to pray. Bible says, if we pray according to his will, we know he will hear us. And if he hears us, we know that we have the petition for which we have requested. Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God this evening. Lord, bring me to your purpose. Lord, bring me to your plan. Lord, let your spirit dwell in me. Help me to submit to you to your spirit so that your nature can be formed in me. Your nature can be formed in me. Lord, as you lead me to speak to men and women, as you are directing me, enable me, embolden me to go, Lord, and speak to them. That I will be a fruit bearer, and my fruit will not spoil. My fruit will not be damaged. My fruit will not suffer loss. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Many of us need to pray and ask God for endurance, the gift of endurance. That nature of God that endures. Even when it seems that the enemy has had the victory, God will, you see God waiting patiently, knowing when he's going to strike. He said to David, you don't wait. When you hear a moving in the mountains, you don't give him the victory. David had to wait for the moving, in spite of the enemies having built up. Saul would not wait. And he went ahead and gave a sacrifice, and foolishly went to do what was not supposed to do. Even though he got a victory, it was not a victory by the hand of God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Those contracts that you are looking for, let me tell you, God has a major one prepared for you. You are not pursuing after small things. The real deal you haven't seen yet. It is time for us to wait. It's time for us to endure. This is the condition under which we should wait. This kind of condition that we're expressing in Nigeria today is the time. We should not even join others to be abusing the government, to be insulting anybody. This is the time to endure. And say, Lord, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in my life. Have your way, Lord, in my life. Let's stand to our feet. Lift our hands to heaven. And take this for us. Have your way.
Have your way, Lord, in my life.